Welcome all to the Fan in the Arena, the podcast where we will do a deep dive into the anatomy of a fan. Hello there, I'm your host, Adam Moskow, and each week, we'll look into what makes a specific fan base who they are with the help of a credentialed guest who has intimate knowledge of the fan base. This week, with the help of Anthony Pusick, the producer of The Michael Kay Show, we're going to talk about the fans of a team with the most recognizable logo in sports, a team that Anthony filters calls about from engaged fans every weekday afternoon, the New York Yankees. Buckle up, because this one's going to take you on a ride that I doubt you're expecting. Let's do it. I want you to walk away from this, having felt like you now know why Yankees fans are the way they are, for good and for bad. The main stereotype around a Yankees fan is that they're spoiled rotten. They expect a season to end in a World Series championship, and if it doesn't, then it's a failure. World Series are bust for Yankees fans, and you really can't blame them for having this mindset. They've been told to think like that by every important figure in the organization for decades, starting with the boss himself, George Steinbrenner.
I'm like a Yankee fan. My foot has gone through a number of television sets in my time. I bleed like those guys out there do, the fans. I mean, they hate to see it lose, and I hate to lose.
It doesn't end there. The players peddle this message just as strongly, with no one committed to it more than the captain, number two, Derek Jeter.
Black and white for me. You know, I don't think you're happy finishing second or happy getting to a World Series. The goal is to win. If I don't win, then I'm not fun to be around.
The next man to take the mantle of managing partner of the Yankees, George's son Hal, voices the same sentiment often. If you want to blame anyone for Yankees fans expecting every season to end with a World Series ring, then look no further than the people running the team and playing in the games. They're the ones who set the standard for what the fans should expect, so the finger really can't be pointed at anyone but them. The reason they're spoiled is because they're told to be. The 27 championships in 4 and 5 years in the 90s certainly doesn't hurt, but if you're a Yankees fan of basically any generation, you've seen at least one championship, if not a few. Except for my generation. I was 6 in 09. My dad wasn't a baseball fan, so I wasn't watching the game, nor did I even know what was going on. I haven't seen a World Series win. I think this is the source of a large divide from the current makeup of the fan base. There's the fan who's 30 years and older that's seen 5-plus championships, and there's someone my age who hasn't even seen one. And the way we each view the team and the outcome of every season is vastly different. I was elated when the Yanks made the World Series this past year. It's been my favorite year as a fan by far. Forget about them winning it all, I'd never even seen them make the Fall Classic, and didn't take any of it for granted for that very reason. I mean, it had been 15 years since the last time they went. Despite this, all I heard and saw in terms of fan reaction was what a failure of a season it was. Specifically from callers on the New York Sports Talk radio show I listen to most afternoons, The Michael Kay Show. And that brings me to our guest this week, the producer of that very show, Anthony Pusick.
Hey, thanks for having me, Adam. Happy to be here.
So for anyone ignorant enough to not watch The Michael Kay Show, maybe doesn't know who you are, what could you tell them to enlighten those poor souls?
Well, I am, you shouldn't know me. I'm not that important. I'm a producer on The Michael Kay Show, which is 3 to 6:30 on YES and 880 ESPN, ESPN New York Radio. I've worked on that show for over 2 years now, and I've been with ESPN Radio for about 6 now. It's been a long time. And I am one of the people behind one of the most successful and longest running afternoon drive talk shows in New York.
I beg to differ. You're pretty important in a lot of people's lives.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So I want to get into the weeds here on Yankee fandom, why they're spoiled, why they never seem satisfied, all of it. So I set us up prior with the messaging from the front office and the players of this championship or bust mentality, calling any season that doesn't end in a World Series a failure. And I think that's like surely responsible for a large part of the Yankees fans' psyche, but there's a bunch more to talk about. And as someone who fields calls year-round from Yankees fans, you know them about as intimately, I think, as almost anyone. So what is the first adjective you'd use to describe a Yankees fan?
First adjective I would use to describe a Yankees fan is passionate. There's no question about that. Yankee fans, whether they call into the show, tweet the show, or just as you walk through the gallows of Yankee Stadium, they have passion. This is a team that's highly regarded as one of the most successful, if not the most successful franchise in professional sports for good reason. They've had success as great success as recently as the late 90s in terms of dominance. And a lot of people still expect that from them. I think despite the changing landscape in sports and how people have kind of caught up to them and some could argue even surpassed them in terms of the way they do things or how much money they have to spend. George, if he were alive, which is a very fun thing that everybody likes to say on the show, didn't have to deal with the likes of Steve Cohen or the owners of the Dodgers, who have money, unlimited money. This is Hal Steinbrenner's only source of income. I know no one's going to complain about his $700 million of revenue, but if anybody ran a business, you would not say that they should spend all of their money on the team. They spent $340 million last year. That should be enough to win you a World Series. It should be enough to build a team that is competitive enough to win a World Series. They did get there, but they did not reach their ultimate goal. And some fans would view that as a failure. I am of the opinion, having been on this show and listened to Michael talk about it and others, that it is not as easy as it used to be. And I don't know if the 90s Yankees would have said it was easy, but they certainly made it seem that way with how many championships they won and how many World Series they got to. But fans have an expectation that the 27-time champions will get there more often than not and win more often than not. And since 2009, that has not really been the case. So that passion was coming out. Some would call it the darkest period in Yankee history. I would venture to say that there have been worse, because they have been making the playoffs and they have been getting to the ALCS. And this year they made it to the World Series. They didn't win. But passion is something that this fan base has a lot of. And sometimes it's either, I want to say it's misguided or misplaced, but it's certainly something that dictates how they feel about this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially topical in the past few days with the Soto signing.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, and no one wants to hear this, thinking that there's a Yankee mouthpiece, but I think Hal did everything that he possibly could. Brian Cashman said a couple of days ago, or recently after the Soto signing, that he felt that the Yankees went above and beyond their comfort zone. There's comfort zones now. Hal Steinbrenner, George Steinbrenner didn't have comfort zones. He would pay whatever it took, but he was also treading in different waters. The money that he was giving to Roger Clemens and guys of that like are nowhere close to what guys like Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani are getting. There's more cap restrictions. There's salary there's luxury tax that his son Hal has to deal with. And he pays it more often than not. And there's got to be some credit there. And I think that, you know, he did what he could for a player that he felt was going to be important to that team. And it just didn't work out. I think Steve Cohen was going to outbid anybody. He certainly felt that way, and he has the ability to do it. A lot of that money is not coming from the Mets. It's probably coming from Steve Cohen. So to have an owner like that, the Yankees haven't had to deal with that in a very long time. And that's going to be different for everybody. And the standard that's been set of championship or bust, as you pointed out, is echoed by Aaron Judge, which was echoed by Derek Jeter, which was echoed by George Steinbrenner. And I'm not saying that they don't have that aspiration, because they do try to be competitive every year, but it's certainly not as easy as saying we're going to make our way to the World Series every year again, like we did in the 90s. It's just not possible. And Juan Soto certainly hurts that, because he was so good for them last year. But to say that they can't spend money and change the way that teams perceive them, I think is misguided. I think they could still get better. They won't be the same. It'll look different. But they could get better. It's certainly a loss. It's a loss that 90s Yankees fans didn't have to feel. You and I are probably too young.
Yeah,
really enjoy that. We've heard about it, the folklore even of those teams. And we know how revered the Jeters and the Williamses and the Posadas and the Pettits are, and the Core Four and all of that. We didn't get to enjoy that as much. We got 2009 and that was about it. I don't really remember the year 2000. So to me, the Mets aren't that big of a rival because I never got that experience. The Soto deal might change that, and we'll see. But yeah, it's an interesting time to be a Yankee fan because things are rapidly changing.
Yeah, I mean, to take that even a step forward, this is where I was going to go next. The difference in generation with Yankees fans. I mean, you said you only got 2009. I was 6 years old. I wasn't watching the World Series. My dad wasn't really a baseball fan. You know, I didn't know what's going on. I haven't seen a championship.
Right.
So I think
You don't have, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I had 2009 and I've had competition. We've had competitive teams for sure. But you don't have that same feeling that your parents did if your parents were fans or older fans that you see in the like we could say we expect, but for you, Adam, and for me, we've seen one or zero championships.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to say this is what we grew up on. It's not really. We've grown up on competitive teams. We've grown up on teams that have a chance, but fall short to the Tigers and the Red Sox and the Rays, and this time getting embarrassed essentially by the Dodgers, who still haven't stopped talking about how bad that Game 5 was.
Yeah.
This is the Yankees that we know, and that is foreign to fans slightly older than me and fans that are in their 60s and 70s that, yes, they saw some dark times, but they can certainly go back to much more successful times. Don Mattingly never won a championship, one of the most revered Yankees, never won. And we're kind of in that mode right now. We don't want Aaron Judge to be the Don Mattingly of this generation, where he'll get his number in Monument Park and he'll be considered one of the greatest Yankees ever, but he'll never win. That is something that I think is scaring Yankee fans. And it's something certainly you have to be somewhat concerned about, just from the nature of the way things are right now.
Yeah, exactly. So that leads me to the question, I guess. We obviously think there's a generational difference.
Sure.
What exactly do we think it is? I mean, it's clearly the 90s championships. There's people walking around who they had 4 and 5 years, was it, right?
Yep.
In the 90s. And then there's kids of my age and even probably a little younger than you, because you were like, you were livid during, not livid, lucid during 09. I mean, you were watching, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, oh, no, so I remember it vividly.
You at least got the one, you know?
I turned my radio to John Sterling to hear the last call, like, you know, like, because you grow up on the videos, right?
Yeah.
Like, VCRs were still a thing when I was a kid. So you'd watch the VCR of the 98 team and the 99 team, the 2000 team. It's the generational difference of what's expected. Things get passed down from generation to generation all the time. Fandom's one of them. And if you were a Yankee fan and it was passed down to you, it's this team is expected to win. This team is a winner. All they do is win. And everybody hates them. And everyone may still hate them, but a lot of teams have caught up. The Red Sox did for a while. The Dodgers have. The Mets have more money than the Yankees. Nothing that they had to deal with in the 90s. The evil empire, that was what they were. And I'm not saying that they're not that anymore. They operate in a different way. And it's for multiple reasons, just other teams catching up to them, the luxury tax penalties that George Steinbrenner didn't really have to deal with, all of those things. And it is hard for all of these teams, teams in other sports, Dallas Cowboys, the Montreal Canadiens. These are all teams that we heard when we were growing up. These are the standards. Well, I haven't seen the Cowboys win anything since I've been around. I haven't seen Montreal win anything since I've been around. And I've only seen the Yankees win one, essentially. They had a couple when I was alive, but not coherent enough to actually appreciate it. And you haven't seen any.
Yeah.
So, you know, the past is great. And you can look back and you see when all those people come back and how revered they are and loved. But we don't have that same experience. And I think that people are trying to hold on to that and have that expectation. I'm not saying they can't get back there. I think the Yankees can win a World Series within the next 5 years. Why not? But are they going to win five in a row? Nobody wins five in a row. Lucky if you win two in a row. Dynasties kind of are dead with the way things have been going with luxury tax thresholds and revenue sharing. Like there's a, it's harder to be a Golden State, or it's harder
unless
to be
defer
unless you defer
million
a lot of
dollars.
Money. And you know what, if you have that type of money, God bless you. But I don't know if the Yankees are treading in those waters anymore as business people. And it is a business. George treated it like kind of his toy, or I need to win. And I'm not saying Hal doesn't, because he spends a ton of money. He really does. I know a lot of people don't like Hal. And a lot of people don't like the way he does things, but he's the one that called and got Aaron Judge done. He was sitting in Italy sipping on wine here, and then he might go to San Francisco. And he's the one that said, what's it going to take? I'm sure he was the one, not Brian Cashman, that said, let's go this high for Juan Soto and see where it goes. But I'm good. I'm at this point, and I won't go any higher. Okay? That was his choice. Who knows how that deal is going to look in 10 years? But in the olden days, it was get everybody you can. Fire people immediately. Aaron Boone doesn't deserve this job. Like that is passed down to us. Things are different. Times have changed. And overall, the real difference is the winning. People older than us expect winning. Not that we don't expect winning, but we can't grab onto, I feel, I know what this winning feels like. We've only seen one. You've seen none. So
exactly.
We could say, this is what I expect. Not really, unfortunately. And you could be the biggest Yankee fan in the world and admit it's different now. And some people think that's not okay. And some people are accepting of the fact that things have changed. But the older generation that knew what this team was and how cutthroat they were, they're still somewhat cutthroat, but there are other teams that do it a little differently and it might be even better. So times have changed, but everybody's perspective on the team has not.
Yeah. I mean, to apply it even, this is my favorite season watching the Yankees of my life. I didn't consider this a failure. I watched them go to the World Series. I got to watch Juan Soto hitting clutch from series home runs. Thought that was going to be longer, but you know, it's still a nice memory.
Well, look, that 2017, I'm sure, because and that's the other
2017
thing.
Too was great.
Seasons that you don't expect is not something Yankee fans are used to. It's we expect to win. So when they traded off people in 2017 and they somehow managed to get to the playoffs in 20, and you were like, wow, they're making a run. This is great. And you thought this was going to be the start of something. They're going to get better. They're going to be here consistently? Because even when there's that little shred of doubt that they're not going to be there, once they give you that little shred of hope, this fan base takes it and runs with it.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. The rebuild is over. It took 6 months and we're back. Well, up until this year, they hadn't gotten back farther as far as they did since. Mm. And that's something hard for this fan base to hold on to, because it was never like that. It was, if they have a down year, they'll be back next year. Not always the case.
Yeah. All right. So pivoting a little bit here, in terms of taking calls, do you ever reject calls on the basis of like, not the topic, like not, or not the inappropriateness of a call, but just like the outrageousness of it? For instance, like, is there one call from a Yankees fan you can remember screening that was just so curmudgeon that you couldn't even put it on the air?
Well, I'll say this. If somebody curses, obviously,
yeah,
they ain't
getting
on. Because if they can't control themselves with me, they're certainly not going to be able to control themselves on the air. And I have a job that I'd like to keep, and I enjoy it. So I'm going to keep it that way. But there are some people who call with the same point every day. And if they get on once and it doesn't change, you're not getting on. You know, it is what it is. I have to create a show or try and help create a show that's entertaining. Hearing from the same six people and hearing the same six points is not gonna be that interesting. Look, I put on people to go, I want to rip Michael. I'm like, okay, say no more. As long as it's not personal attacks over the top, call him Yankee boy, say Peter doesn't know about sports, say Don is Met boy, that's fine. That's entertaining. That'll get you. But if you say, like, I think all three of these guys are jerks because of their beliefs on certain topics and, you know, they were never, you know, they start getting belligerent, that's not something that does anybody any favors. But I pride myself, and the show prides itself on, we're not going to shy away from anything. We're on the Yes Network, and I would say that I put through a lot of calls that Yes would probably not like to hear. That Hal is terrible, and Cashman should be fired, and the Yes Network is cheap or for wanting to sign Amazon to deals and putting games behind paywalls. Like, that's all stuff Yes doesn't want to hear, but no one's ever told me, you can't put this on, you can't put that on. When it gets to be a point where it seems like it's personal, that's where it's a little too much for me. And some of those will get through. It leads to the best Don rants. Sometimes it leads to good Michael rants. But more often than not, I'd like to not put those people through, because they're really just trying to be hurtful, not trying to push together an entertaining call or have a reasonable back and forth. Sometimes they just want to be that guy or that girl, and there's no place for that really on the show.
That's some really cool insight. Thanks. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people find that interesting.
Yeah.
So now a lot of those fans could use some help working through their issues, so they should listen up here. This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. I'm a college student. Always burning the candle at both ends, trying to get my work done, and probably don't spend enough time on myself as I should. But that's where therapy comes in handy. Therapy can give you the tools to find balance in your life, so you can help others while still taking care of yourself. I know therapy has helped me tremendously, whether it's been working through big life events or just needing someone to talk to. Whether big or small, therapy can be there for you to make sure you're the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of trying therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online and suited to your schedule. Sign up is quick and easy, and just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like your first match, you can switch therapists at any time for no charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/faninthearena today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/faninthearena. All right. Let's get into the Champion of the Arena trivia minute. Do you have what it takes to be the Fan in the Arena trivia champion?
Probably not. So let's see. This could be really bad.
Let's step into the arena. In the next minute, I'm going to ask you six rapid-fire questions about Yankees history. You're scored on how many you get right out of six, not how fast you do it. Just keep in mind, you have about 10 seconds per question if you want to get to all of them. You have one minute, and that minute starts now. What year did the Yankees win their first World Series?
1923.
Correct. Yankee Stadium resides on 161st Street and which avenue?
River.
Jorge Posada caught one perfect game in his career. Who is the pitcher?
Roger Clemens.
Would you like to try again or move on?
David Cohn. Move on.
Okay. Whose wild throw did Derek Jeter save on the flip play?
Whose wild throw? Ooh. David Justice?
Nope.
Skip.
Who is the winningest manager in Yankees history?
Aaron Boone, it might be.
Nope.
Joe Torre?
Nope.
Casey Stengel?
Nope.
Oof. Pass.
How many division championships have the Yankees won?
32?
Nope.
34?
Nope.
see, told you. This is not going to look good for me at all. Not good with trivia.
Would you like to relinquish the rest of your time?
Oh, yeah. Just embarrass me completely. I'm all ready. I'm good to go.
Do you want to know the answers?
Absolutely.
Jorge Posada caught one perfect game. It was David Wells.
Mm.
Derek Jeter saved a wild throw from Shane Spencer.
I was thinking Spencer, too. Should have just said it.
Fun fact, I used to go to his hitting clinic. He's a nice guy, but he screwed up my swing at a tryout the next day and didn't make the team.
Have any money back.
And what was Joe McCarthy is the winningest manager in Yankees history, and the Yankees have won 21 division championships.
21. Okay.
I did not obviously know these things. I looked it up.
Hey, listen. And I'm not gonna say 2 of 6 is very good. Michael would be embarrassed, but you know what? It's all a learning curve. So
well, thank you very much for doing this. I really can't thank you enough, Anthony.
Hey man, happy to do it.
And that's a wrap on this inaugural episode of The Fan in the Arena. If you want to enter the arena and become a part of our community, make sure to follow us on Twitter and anywhere you get your podcasts at The Fan in the Arena. We'll be back next Tuesday with another great episode, so I'll see you then.